This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome to the Disney Hero of Reinvention Radio. Nothing like being in a new studio and getting the signal, like, right there. Okay, go. Okay, here we go. All right, so welcome to Reinvention Radio. Mary Belay, Rick Cote. Steve Ulscher hanging out with Adam Urbanski. Is it Urbanski or Bonski? I want to make sure I
Urbanski.
Get it. Urbanski.
Yeah, either way works. I'll respond either way. Like, hey, what?
Do they just call you Ski, right?
That's
like,
it.
Like your
that's
buddies
it.
Just call
like
you
Urbanski. That's it.
All right. So,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ski.
But you just nailed it. You know, I've been used to pronouncing it
so
weirdly for so long, I don't even know what it sounds like originally.
So, all right. Obviously, you got the accent. You came from somewhere. Where did you come from and how long ago?
I should say the cool accent. Come on.
Yes. The cool accent. Where?
Just drove here from Orange County.
Yeah. I was going to guess New Jersey.
That's Orange County.
Is
from
Poland?
It's from Poland. Yeah, I've been here for...
Shmushashe. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means?
She started laughing.
Do you know what that means?
It sounded semi-Polish Russian. What was it?
Can we... Shmushashe. That's like stuff yourself. Like finish up. Like if you're... My wife's family is Polish and Peruvian.
You like must be mispronouncing it majorly. It doesn't sound even remotely close to anything, but...
Can we sing Stolat, though? Can we at least get
Stolat?
Around
Stolat? Absolutely.
Stolat, Stolat, Nezhiyezhina.
Wow, very good.
Stolat, Stolat,
where did you get that?
You just lost about half of the audience.
Shouldn't we have a beer if you're doing this? Doesn't this come with a beer?
I'm impressed. This was awesome. Very good. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's my wife. It's my wife's birthday today.
That was happy birthday?
That was happy birthday.
It just totally sounded like a beer drinking song to me.
Even Polish, doesn't that sound angry? Stole. It's like it's a cold war.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man.
All cold, depressed, and drunk. It's like, oh.
That's funny.
Oh, man. All right. So you came here from Poland.
Yep.
All right. How long ago? And you had $194 in your pocket. Why?
Well, you got your notes straight.
I have something. It's not my story. It's yours. I read it somewhere. But $194, like, you couldn't even scrounge an even 200 out of
anybody? I had 200. And before I got on a train to leave from the town where I was living at, I gave $6 to my girlfriend to buy a pair of shoes. That's why I knew that I had 194 because I gave her $6. So, yeah.
So you came over in 1924, evidently, when you could still buy a pair of shoes.
$6 shoes.
Well, you know, so if you go back to 1989, you know, Communist Poland, your dollar went a long way. Like $6 shoes.
Man, those were like Gucci.
That's it.
That's funny.
All right. So what part of Poland did you, were you raised?
Southwestern. German name is Breslau. Polish name is Wrocław.
Okay. So how far is that from Łódź?
Łódź. It's about, it's like halfway through Poland. So what is it, like 300 miles?
Okay. And so why would you leave Poland? I mean, honestly, because Poland's supposed to be like a really... I've never been, but I'm half Russian, half Polish. My wife's family is Polish and Peruvian. So, well, technically, her parents are one side Polish, the other side Peruvian. So she's Polish and Peruvian. But, like, it's supposed to be, like, really nice. I mean, you know, beautiful women. That's, of course, the
All
first
of
thing
that
I remember.
True.
And, you know, just like a lovely place. Like, so why leave?
It was young and stupid.
Ah,
yep. So a young part fades away. Stupid part is very stubborn.
So how old were you when you came here?
I was 18.
So you were 18.
I was 18.
Okay.
And you know, it's like, why do we leave? Why do we always think that somewhere else things are better than where you are at?
Yeah.
And truly, I mean, when I was going through the process of acquiring visa and kind of permission to enter U.S., when did the Berlin Wall go down? Was it October?
84?
It was 89, but it was in October, I think, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So, and I left in December. So when I was going through all of this, you know, there was lots of turmoil, lots of things changing. And I truly thought that there were just not as many opportunities as I could have in here.
Yeah. Did you think there was more opportunity here in the States, or did you just hear that, you know, you can come here, you can get rich, you can do all those things, which, by the way, you've done.
It's true.
So all the things that they say are really true.
I mean, we could spend a whole time on this story, but when I was actually, sitting in front of the consul in American Embassy in Warsaw, you know, she asked, why do you want to go to America? I said, well, I'm watching all those Westerns on TV, and from everything that I hear, money grows on trees. I want to go and witness it for myself. Swear to God.
Yeah.
True story. That's what I told them. And, you know, and they said, well, can we have your passport? And they took my passport. So the way it works, they take your passport, you come back a few hours later. Now, I had no idea. So when they asked for my passport, then I went back And it's like a bunch of Poles swarming you, going like, "What happened? What happened? Did you get it? Did you get it?" I said, "I don't know. I think I'm in trouble. They kept my passport." And they go, "Sonny, you got a visa." I was like, "Wow." You know, so another part of
Wait,
the story
so it's like,
is
so you can't just leave. Like it's a lottery kind of thing. Like they pick
oh, that's
and
a
choose
whole, to get inside the embassy. Back then, it was a year long wait.
They had a
committee, an association for a waiting line to get into the embassy.
So did you apply or did you know somebody or how did you get
in? I got in through stupidity. I didn't know that it was Thanksgiving, so I went in on Thanksgiving. Now, most people in the know, they knew of Thanksgiving as an American holiday. I had no idea Thanksgiving existed, so I just showed up. It's like, hey, today's a good day to go to an American embassy. Let's see what happens. There was nobody there, like 20 people, because everybody thought the embassy would be closed, but it was open.
Oh, because
so I showed
American
up, and an hour later, I was inside, and they were like, freaking miracle.
Wow. And so, so when you got there, I mean, basically, hey, I'd like to go to the States. I want to move there. Like, what was the conversation?
No, it wasn't like I want to move there. So it's like I want to go and visit.
You can't tell them that. Because if you tell them that, they'll be like, no, you can't go.
So now you're asking about all my illegal activities. I can't talk about it on the radio. But no, you can't tell them you want to move there. So I want to go and visit, right? And you get the visa for 6 months, and then you can extend it and so on once you enter the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another part of the story is that in Poland back then, it had mandatory military service.
Oh, at 18.
At 18. So if I didn't leave Poland and I didn't go to college, which I didn't make it to college. In Poland, I had to pass an entry exam to go to college. I didn't make it. So I was basically facing a 3-year mandatory military service. And back then, Polish army was kind of like Russian army. Nobody wanted to serve. I was like, heck no.
Yeah.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's because there were so many wars going on. I mean, Europe was, this is the time where like countries were trying to descend from Russia and like Eastern Europe. I mean, it was kind of a mess.
Well, all true. But even aside from that, I mean, you guys are all entrepreneurs. Would you want to serve 3 years under some sort of, you know, military oppression? Someone telling you every day when you can get up, when you can eat, what to wear, you know, how to move every day. It's like, to me, it was I couldn't even imagine being in the military.
You just described my life to a T. That's like,
welcome to being married, huh?
if it's not the dogs, it's the kids. If it's not the kids, it's the wife. I think I'm under military rule. But reality is then.
But there's some perks that come with it. In the military, you don't get it, all right?
True. Or yes, for sure. 100%.
You have to think about it. I hope your wife is not listening
100%.
To this.
All right, so you knew then you were an entrepreneur. I mean, you knew that this is. You wanted to do something.
I was a hustler. I was a hustler always.
So what's like, take us back, like, when did you first realize you were that kind of hustler?
I was
how old?
6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. I was always doing something. So, you know, my mom, I mean, the first thing, I was just asking people for money, just like it was nothing, you know? My mom sent me, like, you know, up the street to buy groceries, like vegetables from the vegetable store.
Yeah.
And I realized I was short on money. So I'd stop people on the street. I'd say, hey, you know, can you, like, you know, give me $2. Why? Because, you know, I'm Rubensky. Just give me $2. You know, everybody knows me. Don't you know everybody knows my parents. Just give me $2. I'm good for it, you know? And then I would...
Did you ever pay him back?
I don't even remember who they were.
That's why he left.
I'm assuming.
That's why he had to go.
That's it. I had to leave.
The military and his neighbors are after him.
That's it.
But yes, we'll grant you asylum. Come to America.
Absolutely. You know, I remember going when I was little to like neighbors and telling them stories. And for stories, they would serve me cocoa and like a croissant or something. Because I would tell them, you know, I'll make up a bunch of stories. And they were like,
I'm sorry, did you say people served you cocoa and sand?
And croissants.
Croissants.
Like, I mean, I hate Polish food. I gotta be honest with you, man. There is nothing worse on the planet than Polish food.
Oh, you gotta be kidding!
No, dude,
it's delicious.
But there's a Polish buffet. I'm from Chicago, and so Chicago has the second largest Polish, population to only like Warsaw. So they're like, you can't go like more than a block without hitting a Polish restaurant. It is the greasiest. You cannot leave a Polish restaurant without gaining at least 5 pounds.
Well,
like, even
the
their soup
is,
you have to eat with a fork.
See, the problem is you were eating all this food
without
drinking chilled vodka. That was your problem. goes with vodka, it doesn't matter that it's greasy.
You got to thin the soup with vodka.
That's it. But I'm surprised. I mean, you're semi-Polish and you don't know the famous Polish dish, cocoa and sand?
Cocoa and sand.
Oh, man. All right. So you owed a lot of people money. You went to claim political asylum, and somehow you ended up here, and you started hustling. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. See, that's all you got to do. You just
now you got the official story.
So if you want to leave your country and you want to come to the States, you got to borrow a lot of money. You got to be at that point where you're just about to be drafted, at the point where your country really needs you, Adam, at the point where they're like, we need you to defend our pride, to take and carry on our legacy. That's when Adam said, you know what?
I said, I'll take your legacy and go abroad with it. I'll be your ambassador.
Oh, man. All right. So when you came to the States, did you speak any English at all?
Yes.
Oh, you did already.
Yes. I could say, how do you do? And excuse me, do you have the time?
And a dollar.
Perfectly.
Because you didn't have a watch.
No, I don't think I did, actually.
Wait, so $194 doesn't get you very far in America. Obviously, in Poland, it gets you some pretty nice shoes and some bread and some, like, supper for weeks. But here, it doesn't go very far. So you must have dug in and you had to get a job, like, right away, no?
No, I didn't. It took me 3 months to get my first job. So it was pretty slim.
Where did you live?
I lived in Queens, New York. And an older lady took me in, and I didn't pay for a while until I kind of got my footing in.
What were you doing for that old lady to...
We're coming up on a break.
Let's be nice to an old lady.
Very nice. Yeah, I'll take you in, Sonny. Come on. All right, we are going to have to take a break here. Man, all right, so much to cover. And, of course, at some point here, we're actually going to talk about like what you do now, which is help people make a lot of money. I mean, you've been...
Supposedly.
Well, you know, according to your bio, you're very successful. You've got a lot of very...
Did you find it on the internet?
I found it on the internet. It's got to be true. All right, very cool. So, Mary Golay, Rich Ote, Steve Ulster hanging out here on Reinvention Radio with Adam Urbanski. And we'll be right back, right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're at a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulscher hanging out with Mary Goulet, Rich Ote, and Adam Urbanski. Yay!
Hey.
Ooh, that all rhymes. Very cool. All right, so Ski, let's have an honest conversation here, man. Come on. All right, so you leave Poland, and what did your friends and your family say? First of all, they couldn't have been happy about that because I mean it's like because they were stuck there in the Cold War.
They had to pay my debts. They had to pay
your debts. Stuck there singing Stolot all by themselves. All right, so but seriously, like what did your friends and family have to say about that?
Nothing really. I mean, I couldn't really care less.
So you didn't like your parents. All right, so that's fine. I mean, I understand. Are your parents still alive? Are they still with us?
My dad is not, but my mom still hates me, so yeah.
What about your girlfriend that you bought the shoes for?
Yeah, man, I haven't talked to her in many
you
years.
You bought me $6 shoes.
We remained friends, though. It was just a different time, different reality, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously, you know, a few years back. I am sure that you've grown and you've gone back and you've repaid your debts and... okay. So you got here, and what was your first job when you got here, other than scrubbing her back with the loofah as Wade, so... Get the back of my... No! That's like for 3 months. It's like you're going to stay here for
it's
free.
Like
you're
Big
gonna,
Bang Theory. They got,
yeah, I actually got hired. It's a funny thing because I spoke Russian back then more than I spoke English, obviously, because I had to take Russian in school. So I got hired by Hungarian Jews. Russian-Hungarian Jews.
Are you a Jew?
As a baker, no.
Damn it. All right.
I was hoping.
We got to get a Jew. At least one show has to have another Jew here.
You've had a couple.
Who?
I'll remember name. Keep
yeah,
going.
So you can't remember. They were that memorable to you. Okay.
No.
All right.
Well,
so
I don't remember people by their religion.
You just remember.
I don't go, hey, yeah. I have five Jewish friends, three Catholic friends.
And now, hey.
This is how we list them in our database.
you go to your contacts. It's like, never mind. All right, so let's do this.
Let's try to go somewhere.
Yes, we're going to definitely try to go here. All right, so your first job was?
As a baker.
As a banker.
But yes, that's cool. I made a lot of dough.
Baker, so, not banker.
Baker. Oh, so that's where the cocoa and sand thing came from.
This little device was a translator, but apparently it's broken.
This is what happened. We're the new studio here, and like, there's nothing but like buzz in my ear right now, and I'm deaf from DJing for so long as it is. So like, anything you say may and can will be used against
you. I noticed that.
All right. So you were a baker.
Yep.
Gotcha. And you had baking talents back home, and you brought them here, or you learned?
I was highly trained. Yeah, I've seen my dad bake before. So, no, true story again. So, my dad owned a bakery in Poland, one of the few businesses that you could actually own as a private business, right? You could shoe repair and bakery and butcher. Those are the businesses you were allowed to own in
Otherwise,
Poland.
Everything else was government owned?
Pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Or co-ops, yeah. Right? Huh. So private businesses were not necessarily allowed back then. So, I've seen my parents work very hard. I've seen bakery. I've worked in bakery as a kid. Right? Because every time somebody didn't show up for work, my parents would be like, hey, you get up. They gave me a little stool, so I was tall enough to work at the bench, and I did whatever I could. Mm. But, you know, the minute I got this, I was hustling for a job, and I talked to the guy like a month and a half prior, and he said, nah, no openings. And then he calls me like at 3:30 in the morning. You know, this older lady I lived with, she like wakes me, hey, the phone call for you. And it's like 3:30 in the morning. She's all pissed at me, right? The phone rings, and he's like, hey, you want a job? You'll be here in an hour. You got a job. I'm like, hey, I'll be there.
Wow. This is in Queens.
His shop, the place was in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So I had to take like two or three trains, go through Manhattan down to Brooklyn. And showed up, I mean, within like an hour, the guy knew. I mean, within 5 minutes, he knew I wasn't a baker, right? But let me tell you, by the end of that shift, I was a fully bona fide baker. Because I knew if I don't pull my weight, I'm out of there. And I couldn't afford to be out of there because, man, living on a cup of coffee for the last 90 days was getting a little old.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, man. So at what point did you figure out, like, you're going to get into this arena of business and helping people? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
So that's a.
How'd you go from baker to this business? I think.
How long is the show again?
Yeah, I know, right?
Bullet points, buddy.
So bullet points, you know. So when I first got into that business, then I moved to. That was in New York. Then I moved to San Diego, actually chasing my wife.
So you saved enough money working in that bakery to move to San Diego.
Save is a very relative term, right?
So you went to the lady.
The car that I used to make myself go from San Diego to New York was like a 30-year-old car.
Yeah.
It was a five-speed manual transmission. By the time I got to San Diego, it only had four gears left and it had no brakes. It was a suicide vehicle. That's what it was. All right.
So you learned how to surf when you got here.
Pretty much straight into the ocean. Exactly. It was like no brakes. But you know, so I got into a restaurant business. I got hired as a manager, as a consultant. Started that. Eventually got into another company. Bought into the company. Bought out the owners. Owned the company. Sold it out. And once I sold it, you know, the reason I wanted to sell, because I realized that even in the restaurant business, what I liked the most was talking to people and helping kids. Like, you know, have employees who are the first-time jobs.
Mm.
And to me, it wasn't like, it's not a job. It's the life training. Why are you having this job? So I always enjoyed training people. So I sold it because I wanted to be a life coach. And I wanted to actually work with corporations, teaching them how to communicate better and set goals and, like, you know, sit together and sing kumbaya.
Did you know it as a life coach back then? Like, did you?
Because we were using that terminology.
Yeah, so this is a year 2000. So life coach was just coming online. In terms of like people using that language. But yeah, if you said back then you were a coach, it's like Little League or soccer or baseball. Mm-hmm. Yeah. People didn't know what it meant, right? Not like a professional life coach.
Wait, but what made you think you could actually help people?
You know,
like, I know, like, I shouldn't be helping people, but like, you obviously thought like you
so
should
let me ask
be.
A question. Yeah. Why shouldn't you be out helping people?
Have you seen my kids?
Just listen to our show.
Well, you know, your kids are not a good sample base, okay? They usually don't listen to you as well.
But you knew you could help people.
It goes back to how I got hired as a baker. You show up and you claim that you can do something and you work as hell to make sure that you deliver on your promises. Mm-hmm. And I think life coaching was the same thing. So I looked at it and people were going spending thousands of dollars and like years of their life getting certified. I'm like, screw this. I'm good to go as right now, you know, as I am. It's like I've got certain skills.
You had real world experience.
That's it. It's like,
And the internet was around now, so you could start writing stuff.
That's
and
it.
Everyone
I
would believe
like,
it's
hey,
true.
The famous Adam Urbanski. Okay.
So you so I mean that's like rags to riches though. I mean like really because $194 you come here, you work your way through. You bought the business. I mean, just I got to take two steps back though and figure that out. Like, how did you get to the point where you could buy that business? Did you were you just socking every single dollar away? Were you did you work something out with the owner? How did you do it?
I wanted to use the same strategy I used when I was 6 years old. So I stuck on the corner and said, "Hey, give me $2. I want to buy this. Don't you know me? Come on, I'm good for it."
But you
pretty much figured it out. I mean, it was scrunching every dollar. I was saving as much as we could. I was working two or three jobs if that's what I needed to do. You know, on the top of the job that I had, just sure. to kind of bring money in. And, you know, every, you know, it's like for 3 or 4 or 5 years, every year comes end of the year, we kind of look at each other and Bo is like, well, this is the year we're buying a house. I'm like, well, no, this is the year we buy more of the business. Mm. And we're like, yeah.
Do you have kids?
Yep.
You do. Do you teach them to save the way you save? Because
I wish I was smart enough.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
see, I'm just qualified as a life coach. That's it.
No, I think with kids, like my kids don't have a clue. They're just like, I go to the bank and I get $200 out in $5 bills. Because they go, and Mom, can I have some money? I'm like, yeah, you can have $5. Because otherwise they'll take 20.
You don't give them allowance?
No.
Really?
They don't do crap. I swear to God, they're so entitled. I mean, to get them to undo, you know, the dishwasher, clean their rooms. Mm. Anyway, that's crappy.
Wait,
Mommy.
So how old are yours?
23 and 21.
You got old, so how are they doing as human beings at this point?
So pretty good. Like one just finished college and is still kind of trying to figure goes to Costa. You know, here's how she's looking for a job, honey. So how's the job search going on? Well, I'm going to Costa Rica on Thursday. I'm like, oh, good for you.
Oh, takes after her
an
father.
International
that's it,
job.
Right?
Right.
So wait, let's. Oh, go ahead.
Might need your daughter might need a life coach.
Right? It's not going to be easy.
Are you looking for clients?
But let's go back to Steve's question, like, how did you do that? Because I have this idea, and I could be completely wrong, that when people come to America, they can just look out on a street corner and go, opportunity, opportunity, opportunity.
That is true.
And we are walking down the street going, doo-doo-doo, Mr. Magoo.
I think we see opportunity, too. But if you go back and you think of how many of these shows an immigrant has come in and been successful. There's at least 7. It's like, remember, I even made a joke at one time, like, sounds like the secret of success is we need to leave the damn country and come back
and
as immigrants.
Right. A different perspective.
You know, just because you're coming in hungry. You know, we've been here. Just like when you were describing your kid. I'm sure you love your daughter. I'm sure she's a great person, but she's not hungry like you were.
That's it.
All right, Adam, be real. Are Americans lazy? Are we lazy as a cult?
It's not lazy. You're just not hungry enough.
What do you think that is? Are we just we're just too
it's too easy here?
You're just not hungry. You don't have to fight for it. I think for us it was like, and talking to all my friends who, you know, again came from Poland or from some other countries, it's just we were so hungry because we didn't have anything. And you know, for me to start with, there was
no you were
failure.
Literally hungry.
Failure was literally. Failure was not an alternative.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, what do you mean it won't work? It's just, it must work. Otherwise, I'm dead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just that type of hunger where nothing can get, you know, some people say, you know, I teach clients today. Someone say, I'll give it a try for 90 days. I said, don't bother. Well, what do you mean? It's like, you have to put a time limit on it, 90 days. What happens in 90 days if it doesn't work out? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like for me to say, you know, I'm going to give myself 90 days to see if I can get a job. And what then if I don't get a job? You stop looking?
Then you give yourself another 90 days, right?
It's like it said, you know, think, time out, you know, time over, I'm done. Mm-hmm. So it's like you don't stop. You basically, you know, create a vision for yourself for whatever it is and you work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you find opportunities. You start moving one leg in front of another. You find opportunities. So like with us buying a company, I worked for one company. I was very grateful for it. But then at some point I realized like they kind of stalled and it's like, you know, there's nowhere else to go. So I started looking for other companies. There was a company kind of in the same line of work, fast food restaurants, coffee shops, / bagel shops. You know, I had one successful shop, opened another one that was a total failure and they were looking for someone to kind of reinvent them. They were like, you know, one is working, one is not. We're losing money. What's going on? And back then, I swear to God, I was driving a car that had a license plate, Bagel Whiz. Because, I mean, I learned... Which there's another story how I got that
and
job.
And then of course everybody thought you were a Jew at that point. And
pretty
so,
much, yeah. I had a easy way in.
We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to take another quick break here on Reinvention Radio. But I definitely want to hear more
it's
about
a good
the.
Cliffhanger.
It is. I definitely want to hear more about the Bagel Whiz and so on. But ultimately, I know you help people get high end clients. I know you're really good at signing clients up yourself,
trying to
get high. That's what Rich and I are here for. All right,
enunciate. Oh my god.
All right, more here on Reinvention Radio. Right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the Series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Hanging out with Mary Goulet, Rich Ote, I'm Steve Olscher, and Adam Urbanski is here. Got the ski-ski in the head. Ski-ski.
Hey, hey, hey.
All right, so let's do this, because obviously there's a lot of things that we could talk about, but I think we just want to close that loop.
The cliffhanger.
We left the loop open, the cliffhanger here.
I can't remember, because half the show, the better part of the show sometimes is during the break. Things that are said.
All right, so, but we were talking about the transition, right? The transition from being the employee to being the business owner. And literally, you just scraped the nickels together. You made him an offer he couldn't refuse. You became the bagel whiz. That's it. So you were known for a while as the bagel whiz. Yes.
Pretty much. So like a lot of companies in Southern California that were in the bagel business would either use my recipes or, you know, some sort of were buying products from us for a while. So I think the bottom line is, like, so I worked for one company. They kind of maxed out. I was looking for another company. But the point I was really trying to make is the way I got hired is I outperformed. At that time, they told me it was about 40 other candidates that interviewed for the job. And, man, I prepared. You know, I thought about what kind of questions they may ask me. You know, we role play with my wife, and I was thinking, okay, grill me as an interviewer. Keep in mind, English is my second language. If you think my English is bad now, imagine 25 years ago, it's just like non-existent, right? So I'm like, I've got to go in there and impress those people. And, you know, there were folks that came in with degrees and lots of experience. And there's a little, you know, Adam rolling in the car that barely drives, right? Mm. But again, I spoke the right language. I spoke the right, you know, I used the right
bagel
words.
Bagel language.
I spoke the bagel language. And again, I've made myself into this bagel whiz, bagel king. And once I was inside of a company, once we fixed the problems, they wanted to grow. I was like, well, you know, I'll chip in some money. And they want to grow again. I'm like, I'll chip in some money.
Mm. Wow. And so at that point, you obviously had then an ownership position, and you just kept accumulating. You know, that's the thing is, like, I mean, there are so many people here who just, they have the abilities, they have the talents, but they don't have the drive, right?
Do you
still have the drive, Matt, or is the drive gone now that you've accomplished?
You know, I still have it, but I've got to remind myself sometimes to not be complacent and comfortable. Mm-hmm. That's what you talked about, the immigrants, you know, this hunger. So it's like, once you reach a certain point, it's like, what's next? I was just watching Tony Robbins do an interview, and he talked about, you know, Buzz, what's the first astronaut?
Oh, Buzz Aldridge?
Yes. You know, it's like, so you walk on the moon and then you kind of come back home. Like, you know, what else do you do, right?
What the fuck can you do after that?
You're pretty
that?
Much freaking, like, you're depressed. I mean, you're depressed for the rest of your life, right?
Yeah.
So I think part of it is really finding, like, once you reach a certain level, what do you do next?
Yeah.
My
dog's even annoyed by that.
Changing topic.
So plus,
shoes are a lot more expensive than $6 now. And
I know. Three girls, shoes.
So do you think your kids have the same drive you did?
They definitely don't.
They definitely don't.
Definitely don't. And, you know, it's funny because, again, when they were little growing up, I was always thinking, you know, I want to ensure that they grow up hungry. I want to give them the things that other people have. They have to earn it. And, you know, they didn't. They never had computer games. They didn't have phones until later. They didn't have computers until later. But, you know, just we live in such a society that you can't bring up kids in a bubble. Mm-hmm. All right, they just by the very nature of the fact, even when things were very thin for us in the business, like as an entrepreneur, you go through ups and downs. You know, they never experienced a real. They never were.
They never missed a meal.
They never missed a meal.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I tell my wife that all the time. Whenever she gets on me, I'm like, "You have never missed a meal." I don't know. That's like my go-to line. So I use that with my kids as well. But you know, truth is, three squares, 20 years of marriage. What else do you want from a guy? I mean, that's. I use that with my kids too. It only goes so far, and then I take away their phone, and then I get their attention. All right, so let me ask you this: now you are in this world of helping, you know, people build their businesses. Obviously, you've been a successful entrepreneur, so for you to be able to help other people with their businesses, it's logical. Talk to me about some of the coaches who try to help people build businesses who have never built a business other than helping coaches build their business. I know you've got an opinion on that. I am sure you do.
You know, it is a catch-22, and I think that if you asked me that 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I would have been a lot more opinionated. And today, I'm kind of, you know, I'm
That's because you like all those people now, but let's take it back 5 years.
I like them a little bit, you know? partners. You know, I think the fact is that everybody has to start somewhere, and at the same time, I'm also teaching that, you know, to every third grader, fourth grader is a god.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to someone, if you run a coaching business and you've achieved a certain level of success, then I guess you can take others with you. And my point is, they may actually have even more initial success than I could with a certain type of client because, and the same thing with any of you, right? If a client comes to me and they haven't started the business or they're very early, they will look at the great Adam Rubansky. It's like, well, it's easy for you. You've got the list. You've got this. You've got that, right? And they can
relate.
Which is
how your wife refers to you as well.
Exactly. The great Adam. That's it. That's the only way she talks to me.
That's a really good moniker, the great Rubansky.
Remember that.
Yeah.
Right?
You got to take notes.
Write this down.
She's not doing Facebook Live now.
That's it.
No recording of that.
That's
it. So, yeah, please.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's the whole point, right? It's like they can relate because I'm so far ahead of them versus someone that's been where they are and they are now 6 months, a year later in a little bit better spot. They go like, show me how you got that first step. Mm-hmm. And I think I used to get really angry at people because, you know, I would see them living in a basement in this 25-story building, and I would say, come on to the penthouse. Let me show you. And they go like, I just freaking want to get out of the basement.
Right.
I'm like, screw the freaking basement. Screw the first story. Look where you can go. Let's get you over there, right? And go, no. I just want to get out of the basement. I'm like, it's so freaking frustrating.
So what do you think that – where does that come from with human nature?
You know, I have no idea. It has to do with confidence. But again, I think it's, you know – so you were born in the U.S., Steve, right?
I was, yeah.
All right,
I'm like 17th generation. I am like, yeah.
Wow. You know, I don't know because I think growing up in Poland, maybe it's like because we didn't have the word. We didn't talk about confidence. Mm-hmm. It's like you're confident, you're not confident. Obviously, it existed, right? It's part of the human condition. But in here, I'm so shocked. And especially if you guys think like in the last 5 years, there's more and more programs on confidence.
Yeah.
It's like people are so short on confidence. Like, what's going on? Why are they so freaking paranoid? I think they're watching too many pictures on Pinterest thinking everybody's life is freaking rosy except for theirs, right?
Yeah, it's like
schizophrenic.
You go old school. It's like, I'm confident I did not die today. That's where they like draw the – I mean, it's like that was a good day. I did not die. And so I'm confident for tomorrow because I didn't die yesterday. But, you know, people obviously take it to, as you said, I mean, I think they're just kind of spoiled, really.
Yep.
All right. So client
but, you
traction.
Know, to answer your question kind of a different way, there is another way to look at it. There are two schools of thought. So the main one school of thought is like fake it till you make it. And this is where you've got all the coaches who are posturing, right? It's like, I want to do this and I can show you how to do that. And this is actually really impacting your confidence. You can only posture for so long. I mean, it drains your energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a better way to do it is I talk about talking your walk. So it means you've done something, you've done it very well, and now you coach other people to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that something doesn't have to be big. Let's say you pulled, you know, an opt-in page for your business, and an opt-in page does really well. Does, you know, 50%, 60% conversion. Like, and you've done it again, and you put another page and another page. Maybe you helped a friend. Now you've built 4, 5, 6 pages, and they all do well. And you talk to all the rest of the coaching buddies, and they don't even have an opt-in page.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, I am the opt-in page guy
King.
To go to.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest opt-in page guy to go to in the coaching arena.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're talking your walk. It's something you've done, and you're coaching others. So from that perspective, you can coach people on just one thing, but it's something you've done.
So who would be the ideal client for you? Like if someone's listening to this interview, who would be raising their hand?
Yes, if they've got a spine and can fog up the mirror and got a credit card, they're good for me.
Well, there you have it.
I am very narrowed and niched. I'm very narrowed and niched.
Is your opt-in, your tripwire, give me $2?
That's it. Right? If you've got $2, you are in. So you've got more than one customer avatar, so to speak, right?
Okay.
Because one person could be someone who is kind of in a startup or a pre-revenue mode, right? They're just kind of
pre-revenue.
Thinking, they just kind of got started, but they really can't get traction. So that's one level. People that simply are very passionate about what they can deliver, but they can't get clients.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got the second level of people that got some traction, maybe even good traction. They may be making six figures, multiple six figures, but they're trapped in the wrong business model. Mm-hmm. They're leveraging their time only. They're not leveraging the genius and the systems and the intellectual property they developed.
Yeah, and unfortunately, as we tend to do here, we talk about all sorts of fun things and, of course, didn't talk nearly enough about what you do
genius.
And how you can help people and all of that fun stuff. But I think this in general has been very, very helpful, certainly about just the mentality and how to really blast through and get out of that lazy, complacent mindset. So the marketingmentors.com is one of the best places for folks to go, yeah?
Pretty much. Just look up online the great Adam Urbanski.
They're the great Adam Urbanski.
I'm sorry, Bo.
Right, I know.
Listen to that on the way
all right,
home.
Well, unfortunately, oh man, all right, we can do this all day. But Mary Goulet, Richard Tay, I'm Steve Olsher. We got to get out of here. Adam Urbanski, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you guys next time on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olsher, visit reinventionradio.com.